everybody. Matt Lodi, NEO Sports Insiders, with you once again. And we are joined by our good friend from Fox Sports. That is Ryan Fowler, the fantasy sports editor. Ryan, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing great. Looking forward to Browns-Bengals Thursday Night Football. Get them under the lights and let's see what happens.
Yeah, get them under the lights. Get them away from Cleveland, where they've been not so good as of late. The Browns, of course, losers last week after they led Arizona 1-20-7. They lose to Arizona by a final of 34-20. Let's start with the Thursday night game. Why not? We're here. We're talking about it. Let's start with the Browns, of course. A totally different look this week with Johnny Manziel. It's been about a year, a little over a year now, since Johnny got his first start, and of course that was against the Bengals here in Cleveland, where the Browns lost 30-0. What do you expect from Manziel on this time around? Do you think it's going to be a better, more prepared Manziel, or do you think the Bengals are going to search for blood again?
Well, I mean, you look at the Bengals' defense this year, and I mean, they're getting a great pass rush going. They got Vontaze Burfict back last week too. So when you look at Geno Atkins and Burfict in the secondary they have, it's going to be tough sledding for Johnny Manziel to be thrown back in there. I think the one area that I'm most interested to look at from a fantasy perspective is how they work Duke Johnson into the passing game, because Duke Johnson deserves a full workload, and I'm saying 20 touches. Let's see what happens, because Robert Turbin and Isaiah Crowell, it's just not working. And it's funny, I was talking to another radio show earlier today about how when Pettine came in, he wanted to focus on defense and he wanted to focus on the rushing game and kind of mimic what the success the Seattle Seahawks had. Well, a couple weeks ago, Josh McCown goes out there and sets a regular season record for passing yards for a Browns quarterback that Brian Sipe had. So now we see this whole shift in prism of how the offense looked, this and that, and they got away from what they were trying to do. I think Duke Johnson can kind of get them back on that road to, again, controlling the clock, because they're not going to beat anybody up by outscoring them with the offense that they have out there. The other thing is Dwayne Bowe and Taylor Gabriel and Travis Benjamin, they're going to have to be part of the equation this week too. And I remember when Manziel filled in for McCown at the beginning part of the season, him and Benjamin had some go routes go right. But it's going to be a tough opportunity for Manziel. Short week, the distraction off the field a few weeks ago, and the Bengals playing among the best football in the NFL.
You know, I watched most of the Pittsburgh-Cincinnati game while I was at the Browns game on Sunday. And, yeah, you know, I was talking to Mark Schwab, who, of course, is a local broadcaster here at Channel 19, and is a good friend of mine. We've known each other for a long time. Huge Bengals fan. And I asked him at one point during the game just a flat-out question. Who's the lead back in Cincinnati? And he said, it just depends. Who is the lead back in Cincinnati for a guy like yourself who studies fantasy football on a daily basis?
Well, I think it kind of goes based on matchup. And you look at the Browns and that rush defense, or lack thereof, and if I had to pinpoint what the matchup favorite, it's got to be Jeremy Hill against the Browns. They struggle to stop big backs that run north-south, and you could say Gio Bernard's going to go out there and get his 10 touches, whether that's the pass or between the tackles, wherever. Jeremy Hill can beat up the Browns. I mean, Chris Johnson, for heaven's sakes, goes out there and rushes 30 times against the Browns last week. You're telling me you can't give Jeremy Hill 20 carries and get over 100 yards against that rush defense right now? Jeremy Hill, if they give him a fair shot, and Hugh Jackson, the offensive coordinator on here, said that Jeremy Hill's arrow is pointing up. Decipher that however you want. Believe it or not, coaches do lie to fantasy owners, as Bruce Arians proved this week. But I do like Jeremy Hill against the Browns this week.
All right, let's move on. It just seems like every week we're talking injuries, and this week was no exception. As I mentioned, of course, that Pittsburgh-Cincinnati game, maybe the biggest injury of the year, Le'Veon Bell, done for the season. They picked up Isaiah Pede off the pretty much off the scrap heap this week, but it's going to be D'Angelo Williams as the main guy in Pittsburgh. But another big name running back, one of my guys on my team, which is a total disaster, Matt Forte. You told me before we got on the air here, indefinitely he is out for. Tell me what you know about Jeremy Langford, and just to reciprocate again about that situation in Pittsburgh, is it D'Angelo Williams, or do you pick up Isaiah Pede just for the heck of it?
Yeah, we'll start with Chicago, and I think what we have to keep in mind is the Bears go into Week 9 against the San Diego Chargers. The San Diego Chargers allow the second most fantasy points to opposing running backs. So Jeremy Langford owners, and there are a lot of new owners of Jeremy Langford today, are going into a scenario that couldn't be better. We will know by Monday, as long as he gets a full complement of touches, how good Jeremy Langford is, because he could have a Thomas Rawls moment where Thomas Rawls of Seattle filled in for Marshawn Lynch and had two out of three great games. But we need to look at what's going on. You can't help but start Jeremy Langford. He's a top 24 running back based on matchup and based on the people behind him. Where he could be hurt is in the passing game. Matt Forte, obviously, a hybrid running back that can catch out of the backfield. And they brought in, now, the Bears are funny. They brought in Jaquizz Rodgers, formerly Atlanta Falcons. He's out for the season due to injury. So what do? They sign another former Falcon running back, Anton Smith. And if anybody remembers Anton Smith last year, he had a four-game stretch where he scored a touchdown. He would have basically two, three touches a game, and one of them would be a touchdown for a good amount of distance. So he might lose some passing down situations to Anton Smith. They also have a guy there that's been for a few seasons, Kadeem Carey. We'll see if they work him in. But all signs point to Jeremy Langford getting 15 to 20 touches against the Chargers, which is a great matchup. And then, yeah, in Pittsburgh, it's D'Angelo Williams. D'Angelo Williams, unless he gets hurt, will be a top 15 running back the rest of the way. He's not going to be Le'Veon Bell, but you look at what he did the first 2 weeks of the season, 20-plus touches. He's going to get enough work that you warrant him to start each and every week.
Do you see a situation in Pittsburgh, of course, a high-powered offense, even without Le'Veon Bell, they're still pretty good offense. They showed it in week one against the Patriots, even in a losing effort, week two against the Niners at home. Do you worry at all about Roethlisberger, Antonio Brown, Marcus Wheaton, and Heath Miller, or do you just keep playing them because now they're going to throw the ball even more probably?
Yeah, I'm hoping that Ben looks a little bit more spry after a week of playing. And he can hide if his knee is a little sore. I don't think he went into week eight at 100%. I think he was probably closer to 90 because it didn't look like Ben and him and Antonio Brown only did so much. Yeah, Brown got the touchdown, but Heath Miller was the big star of the game as far as the passing game. And that goes, and to be fair, the Bengals defense did do well, and that's why I'm worried about the Browns. But yeah, I think Ben Roethlisberger is going to finish as a top 12 quarterback the rest of the way because of Antonio Brown, because of Heath Miller. They have Martavis Bryant in the red zone, a big target. It's going to work well for them as long as Ben's knee is stable. And if there's any type of regression in that knee, because, they dodged a bullet, but that injury did look nasty at the time.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Let's assume that Ben won't be 100% the rest of the way. I still think he has the guys around him that they can put up some points.
Again, we're talking with Ryan Fowler, OhioMemories.com. Don't forget about it, the T-shirt company. We are giving away one of their fantastic T-shirts this week. Guess the score of the Browns and Bengals. There's still time to get on that. You could check our NEO Facebook page right now for all the details at NEO Sports Insiders. Ryan, before we let you go, two quick quarterback questions. First of all, the Ryan Fitzpatrick situation in New York is very interesting to me because now they're saying that if he can handle the pain, he's going to go maybe on Sunday. And also the disaster that's taken place now in San Francisco. Blaine Gabbert is going to get the start there in place of Colin Kaepernick. I cannot believe the fall from grace that Colin Kaepernick has had. If you could comment on those two situations, and what do you do if you're forced to have to go with one of those guys?
Yeah, I mean, if you're starting Blaine Gabbert, I don't want to play in your league because it's got to have 20 teams. I mean, it's just to put Blaine Gabbert, and maybe you're in a two-quarterback league, to be fair, and there are six teams on bye this week. But, again, Anquan Boldin's up there in age. Torrey Smith's up there on age. They don't have a running game right now because Carlos Hyde is gone. They have three random guys. I mean, random in, okay, they signed Pierre Thomas off the street. Maybe he works out in the long run. I don't know how long Carlos Hyde's out. They're being kind of coy of how long he's going to be out with the stress fracture in his foot. But Drones and Thomas and Haskins or Gaskins, there's guys that you don't even know their names because it's such a hodgepodge of people back there after they lost Reggie Bush and Mike Davis in the same week to two different injuries. Blaine Gabbert's got an uphill climb for this week against Atlanta, and we'll see what happens. To be fair to Blaine Gabbert, I think he got an unfair shot in Jacksonville. I think because there was so much coaching turnover in Jacksonville, we never really got to see what Blaine Gabbert is. The problem is, it's what San Francisco is currently that kind of hurts Blaine Gabbert's fantasy prospects. As far as the Jets go, I have a feeling based on it, because the one thing about Fitzpatrick, it is his non-throwing hand, but there is ligament damage in there, according to every report that came out. So I think Geno Smith will start this week. I don't think Bryce Petty will. And Geno, I mean, they have a decent matchup against Jacksonville, but again, I would be hard-pressed and have to be in a two-quarterback league with one of my QBs on bye to even consider Geno Smith a against Jacksonville, who is coming off the bye. Plus, if anybody watched the game against Oakland, the New York Jets defense has definitely regressed among the biggest teams in the NFL. Their defense looked great at the beginning of the season, but when you let the Oakland Raiders, no matter how good their offense has turned into, to put up that many points, the Jets are in trouble the rest of the season if Fitzpatrick can't get back on the field. Plus, Brandon Marshall might be out due to an injury, too.
Yeah, a lot of volatile situations there in New York. Again, Ryan Fowler, Fox Sports editor, fantasy editor, that is. Ryan, have a great week. Enjoy the game down there in Cincinnati with the Browns and Bengals. And again, don't forget to check out our Facebook page, NEO Sports Insiders, for a chance to win one of the great T-shirts from OhioMemories.com. Thanks a lot, Ryan. We'll talk to you next week.
Take care, man.